Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good whatever time of the day. Jeez, that was the hero of my Hello, everyone. It's Michelle and Faith, Michelle Manders from Palace of Peace, and Faith Parent Hendrickson. Faith and I were busy having a nice chat to each other, and the internet connection just decided to go, okay, yawn, stretch, I think I need a reboot.
I can't believe you got right back on right when she said blocked.
That's what I call timing, I tell you. Mercury retrograde, take that! So hello, everyone.
Oh.
Yeah, we are. Okay, deep breaths in. Compose ourselves. Hello, everyone. We are here for another episode of Light Within the Dark. It's I'm broadcasting from Johannesburg in South Africa. And Faith, you are in Hollywood, right?
Yes, I am in Hollywood, California. And Hollywood it is. But it's we just had a major weekend here in the United States, our Memorial Day weekend, and our thoughts turn to those in service and who've made many sacrifices and lots of parties and memorials, and it's also the beginning of the summer season here technically, so a lot of people were out and about and in nature. It was nice 3 days. How about you?
Well, we haven't had holidays at the moment. We've got holidays coming up in 2 or 3 weeks' time, I think. So we're gearing up for winter. We, you know, pulling on boots and scarves and jackets, and while you are stripping off the boots, scarves, and jackets.
Mm.
But it's been, otherwise, it hasn't been too bad. This, obviously, we know Mercury is retrograde, and, you know, having all sorts of fun and games with the with everyone, but yeah, we just got to laugh through it, I suppose. And you know, you and I were talking before we went live, and before my internet connection decided to have a quick stretch. It is, you know, it's tough for a lot of people. It also depends where Mercury is retrograding in your chart. And like we were discussing with you, Faith, you know, you've got Gemini on the 10th house cusp of your chart, which is an angle. So Mercury is retrograding over that area. So it is really bringing up a lot for you in terms of, you know, looking at your career, your destiny. In the traditional medieval system that I studied, we were taught that the 10th house represents the mother. So anything in relation to your mother that you want to reassess, reevaluate, research, these are all the key words of Mercury retrograde. And if anyone would like some more in-depth details on the actual Mercury retrograde, I shall tell you now, I'm just quickly opening my website here. Where are we? If you go to my website, palaceofpeace.net, and you look on the right-hand side, there's a whole tab of titles. Look at the second one. It's called Archive, Palace of Peace Talk Radio. And in there, if you scroll down to Sky Talk, Mercury Retrograde Survival Skills. We did that broadcast on the 2nd of October last year. Go and have a look at that broadcast. You can download it from my website, or you can look in the archives here on Blog Talk Radio, and that will give you a lot of insight into what the retrograde is all about, how it affects us, what we need to do. So I'm not going to go into too much detail around that, but to also just let you know that this retrograde is a dignified retrograde. Mercury is in Gemini. It's a constellation that rules like Virgo. So So this retrograde is actually very good in terms of, you know, addressing things that we are in two minds about, which is a Gemini trait. Gemini only shows us one side of a thing at a time. So with the Mercury retrograde, it's only showing us one side of a thing at a time, but it's also giving us the opportunity to reevaluate the parts of ourselves that we might call a Jekyll and a Hyde, the parts of ourselves that we hide and the other parts of ourselves that we show, and are the parts that we are showing to the world the real us? Is it the real you, or is it, you know, a mask that you have painted? And you wear that mask because you feel that's what the world wants to see. So this retrograde is kind of like stripping us bare of all the lying, cheating, thieving aspects of ourselves that steal our mojo and rob us of our awesomeness and all the other wonderful opportunities that come our way. And in a way, this retrograde is teaching us to wheel and deal, but wheel and deal in such a way that we start looking at ourselves, looking at life, seeing how things are unfolding, and learning to kind of like manage these energies like a wheeler and dealer would, you know. So, but not in the negative sense, in the sense of having to juggle, you know, this retrograde's happening and Saturn's in retrograde and you have to relook this and there's a change over here and the kids need this and the house needs that and this dog needs that and the cat's got this. And instead of kind of like falling in a heap because just everything seems to be going wrong at the same time, it's learning how to juggle these things and laughing and go, okay, so Mercury's retrograde, you want to play, you want to have some fun, let's do this, game on kind of thing, you know. So, but it's not always easy to have that kind of attitude when it's deep-seated core issues or really trying and testing issues in career or family, relationships, whatever it may be. So, and I know, Faith, you are, you know, really feeling this retrograde. Is there anything you would like to share with our listeners in terms of how you're managing this or what you're finding this retrograde is bringing up for you?
That's a great idea. Thank you very much. Well, Saturn is retrograde. Before I do that, Saturn retrograde, maybe you could talk a little bit about that overall, because I think that's such an important base part of the work that Palace of Peace does, which is about facing your fears. Do you mind just talking specifically a little bit about the Saturn retrograde? It's in Sagittarius, still retrograde.
Actually, let me get my ephemeris out here so I can give you exactly.
Like, what does it look like and feel like? Like, you just did a great job talking about Mercury retrograde. And again, the law of Mercury does a nice job explaining the planet and what it does and its retrograde. And plus, you channeled Hermes when we were in Greece, and that was part five of the Greece transcript and channelings.
Yes, yes. I must admit, I don't remember much of the content of that channeling.
Well, I took a peek at it yesterday. I looked at it yesterday, and it did talk about basically what Mercury, the law of Mercury, and how you described it, and about healing and working with the grid. So that might be some of interest to some of the listeners. But go ahead about Saturn and the retrograde.
Okay, so Saturn retrograding currently through the constellation of Sagittarius and will hit Scorpio on the 16th of June. So Saturn, I've just looked in the ephemeris now. So I actually thought we were in at Scorpio already, but we're not. We're at the end of Sagittarius. So the beginning of Sagittarius. So what's happening here is with Saturn retrograding through Sagittarius, Saturn is asking us to relook, rethink, reevaluate, reassess all the retrograde words. You always add re in front of any.
Oh,
regulate, to regulate this, not react. Those are the key things under a retrograde, is not reacting. So you step back, you look at the situation, you reevaluate it, you reassess it, then you readdress certain aspects of it. But any kind of reaction is going to cause regret, because you're going to say things you don't mean, you're going to make decisions that you're going to regret. And generally, when we make any kind of decision under a retrograde, especially a Mercury retrograde, we are always going to change our minds. So if, you know, a relationship breaks up under a Mercury retrograde, 9 out of 10 times the person or the couple will get back together again. Perhaps, you know, if they don't sort out their issues, you know, a few weeks, months, years down the line, the relationship will probably end up breaking up again anyway. But now to Saturn. Saturn represents our fears. Now, this is actually very important in terms of our topic today, which is from fear to forgiveness, because Saturn representing fears also represents obstacles, struggles, time, boundaries. It is a very rigid, very unemotional energy, in a sense. But Lord Saturn can be extremely emotional at times as well, depending what constellation he's transiting through. So with him transiting through Sagittarius at the moment, he's asking us to rethink, reevaluate, reassess, readdress our idea of freedom, our philosophies. What philosophies in life have become outdated? What belief systems that fuel your life philosophies are no longer relevant? What self-sabotaging behavior are you still indulging in and beating yourself up for it because things aren't changing? Where have you been perhaps too pessimistic, too cautious? Where do you fear losing your freedom, losing your connection with spirit? What is it that you want to share with the world in terms of your spiritual philosophy, your personal philosophy, a healing philosophy, a health philosophy, whatever it may be? Saturn wants you to look at that now before he moves into Scorpio, because when he moves into Scorpio, then he's retrograding into the constellation where we're looking at transformation, forgiveness, sexual power, sexual identity, sexual issues, deep-seated anger, deep sensitivity, wounds and reproductive organ diseases and issues that are tied into unresolved anger, lack of forgiveness. So it's important that you look at this. And Sagittarius, if we look at the constellation, Sagittarius rules the hips. So if you're having any kind of hip displacement difficulties, if that whole sort of pelvic region or hip region is giving you hassles, then you know that's part of the Saturn retrograde. So up until the middle of June, when did I say it is again?
June 16th.
Work on reevaluating your philosophies and your sense of freedom. What adventure do you want to go on in life? What life adventure do you want? And where are the restrictions? What's stopping you from seeing life or experiencing life as an adventure? Where is your freedom being thwarted? Where are you being sucked dry in terms of what Sagittarius represents? And the other thing I would suggest, if you have any kind of astrological knowledge, and I'm not speaking about, what's your star sign? I know my star sign is Pisces the Fishes, you know? So I go and read in the newspaper and the magazine what it's all about, and it says I'm going to meet the love of my life this week. Excuse me, no, it does not work like that. Okay, so so what I would suggest you do is get your chart, if you have your chart, and have a look which house Sagittarius is on the cusp of, because that will tell you where Saturn is asking you to look. So, for instance, if Sagittarius is on the cusp of your fourth house, Sagittarius wants you to reevaluate, reassess, readdress, look at everything around freedom, your philosophy, adventure, in relation to your upbringing, the root of your life, your base chakra, your father, your family, everything that is contained within that fourth house, property, home, those are all fourth house issues. So that is where Sagittarius is in your chart. That is what he's asking you to reevaluate. If it's, for instance, your 11th house, it is looking at your hopes, your dreams, your wishes. It would be in relation to your friends, groups, organizations, your guardian angel, all the positive, benefic energies in your life, your social circle, how you connect into social networks. If it's your first house, it's all about you, your talent, your wit, your skills. Second house, it's your money, it's your self-worth, how you value yourself, your morals. Third house, it is around communication, your siblings, your environment, your neighborhood, your mind, how you think, how you speak, how you communicate, short distance travel. Fourth house, I've explained. If it's your fifth house, it's your children, if you have any. Otherwise, it's your creativity, lovers, sexuality, what it is that you love about life. It's also got to, it ties in with speculation. So if you've got any speculative deals on the go, well, that's where you're going to have to relook at. If it's your sixth house, it's around your health, your day-to-day routine, doctors, nurses, small animals, domestic animals, so your pets. It's around your diet, your nutrition, how you take care of yourself on a day-to-day basis, the people that you work with on a day-to-day basis, your service to society on a day-to-day basis. If it's your seventh house, it's all to do with marriages, relationships, partnerships, alliances, and what the traditional astrology teaches as open enemies. If it's your eighth house, it is to do with other people's resources, banks, taxes, insurance, and those kinds of institutions, as well as the occult, astrology, deep transformation. If it's your ninth house, it's connected into foreigners, foreign travel, higher learning, the spirit world, the law. If it's your tenth house, it's to do with career, your mother, which is what I was taught in the traditional astrology. It's your destiny. It's the top. It's the crown chakra. It's the apex of your life. I explained the 11th house. And if it's in your 12th house, it's deeply buried subconscious stuff or things that are hidden, your hidden enemies, things that imprison you, thoughts, attitudes, belief systems, experiences from your past, so deeply buried subconscious things. So that gives you an idea very briefly of the kinds of things you need to look at. So have a look where Sagittarius is. That'll show you what Saturn wants to do. Have a look on what cusp of which house Gemini is on, and that'll show you what the Mercury retrograde is wanting you to do at this time. So it's as simple as that and as awesome as that, because then it shows you what the Mercury retrograde would like you to do. And funny enough, yesterday in the class I was teaching yesterday, I was talking a bit about the retrogrades as well. And, you know, we have gotten so detached and so disconnected from nature, from the cosmos, from all the natural aspects of life, that in the modern world, we cannot even take advantage of these retrogrades to the degree that we need to. And more so the Mercury retrograde than any of the other retrogrades, because the Mercury retrograde is the shortest of all of them. But if we look at it having four Mercury retrogrades a year and 3 weeks at a time, ideally, in the ideal world where we are not pressurized by, you know, this dog-eat-dog world, that means four times a year we are supposed to take 3 weeks out to reevaluate, rest, read, relax, recharge our batteries, rethink what we want to do with the next cycle coming up before the next Mercury retrograde. Those are times where we're supposed to breathe in, retreat, and just regroup. But because of the world we live in this modern sense, or in the modern terms that it is in, it's difficult to do that. But if we can start working towards that, we are going to feel so much more energized. We'll have a lot more clarity. We will have the time without pressure to sit and research, reevaluate, rethink, look at what it is that we're doing, how do we want to change it, and we'll know what to reevaluate, what to research, and what to readdress based on which constellation Mercury is retrograding through and which house that particular constellation is influencing in your chart. So this is just another example of how awesome astrology is. As long as you use astrology as a tool to guide you and you don't use it as an excuse for bad behavior or lack of behavior or action, denial, complacency, and just, oh, well, you know, my chart says I am this and that's the way I am and just have to accept it. No, I'm sorry, it doesn't work like that either. So does that answer your question, Faith, or what you asked me to cover?
Yes, I think it's very important because we are moving through things to face things as part as our blueprint has indicated that was very carefully put together with us and for us in this lifetime that we're able to rise above it. So for me, being 55 years old, I have, you know, done the mommying thing and just really looking back as a crone and what my life experiences brought to me and where I want to go moving forward. And it's interesting as you're explaining all of this, because it is transiting Saturn. It's in Sagittarius, which is my fourth house. And being here in Hollywood, I went back to the home where I first started my family down in San Diego County. And it was a very powerful reflection, especially as my children are in their early 20s and we're all in a position of new and moving forward and creating our lives and what we want to build and be. And it's a very exciting but can be daunting when all four of us are kind of in that space. So when you asked me how I handle it, I totally decided to do just surrender and to follow the law of Mercury and as much as possible looking at both retrogrades as an opportunity to really reassess and to see where I had regrets or disappointments and to really let myself feel that and to really observe. But that's something I do naturally as part of my nature. And what I love is that you talked about nature in your class, because astrology is very natural, and we look at what the planets and the constellations are, and it's just a very powerful thing. And you know, if you resist the process, it is going to be far worse. And it was hard for me because Mars is also fueling me in my third house, so I want to do, and the other side is like no. So it can be really frustrating, and I'm sure many people are feeling that way, and it's nice to know how do you handle it. And to me, knowledge is power, and I sometimes have to have a conversation with myself and decide how I'm going to satisfy that wanting to move forward, make things happen, when energetically we're not supported to do that for the most part by two planets that are retrograding that are the malefic planets or planets that brings, you know, difficulties. So for me, I have Venus and Libra in my first house. I need to exercise. I do it through, you know, dance, Zumba. So I just made sure that I'm doing that at least three or four times a week to get that energy out. But I'm in deep reflection, revisiting, studying, going deeper into my studies in my medieval astrology course. And it's really helping me. And if you don't mind, I'm going to use your words. I agree with you. I have found this study of the self really saving my soul. So the more you know yourself and pulling your own chart, I really feel that you will be able to understand what's motivating you most of the time, fear or love, which is key to rising above your challenges in your chart, and part of the law of forgiveness, which you're going to talk about. So it's beautiful seeing how things all tie together, and how, as you've talked about in our series for most of this year, I believe, is about accountability for our lives and not being thrown from pillar to post, and understanding what's motivating you, what's frustrating you, so that that healing can start. So as difficult as it has been for me, I've had to really clear my calendar and trying to treat it as a sabbatical. And what I've started to do is by year, you know those big year calendars you can get that are like plastic or something, like laminated, and you can write on them? Because I'm a Virgo ascendant and Mercury rules me, I'm starting to manage my life around those times where I can use it as kind of like reassessing your business too, right? I mean, if you can understand yourself well enough to know where you might need a break, it's a great idea to plan your life where you can maximize on those times instead of going, oh dear God, here comes another retrograde. So these are some of the things that I do that help me, so that I can reap the rewards of a retrograde cycle and not look at it as these huge interruptions. So really understanding all the things that happen here as spiritual beings on Earth, and understanding the invisible systems that influence us, challenging us, blah, 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 you will look at life very differently and look forward to it. And we're not good about resting, so it's a great way to maximize maybe some time off or whatever. So I really appreciate when you give us updates as to how it might be affecting each of us differently, so that we can feel empowered, which is the whole point of why we do the Blog Talk Radio series. So I don't know if that was helpful to you, but I liked having that change of response to that retrograde cycle, being more empowering.
Absolutely. And yes, thank you for sharing that, Faith, because, you know, a Mercury retrograde or retrogrades as such are not all doom and gloom. excuse me, for instance, under a Mercury retrograde, you can redo things, restart. Reconnect. So talking about exercise, I mean, you know, with my health issues, from June last year, I had serious health issues. I had my gallbladder removed, and then in November, it was the stage 3 melanoma and the removal of the lymph nodes. So I haven't done any exercise properly for about 7 or 8 months. And, you know, for 8 years, prior to that, I was in the gym 4 days a week, you know, doing cardio and weights and things like that. So I have felt really iffy. But I started my exercise regime this morning, and I felt fabulous getting back to lifting weights and feeling the burn in my muscles and feeling nauseous, and it was such a good
thing. I was going to say, that first day back is hard. Oh, my gosh.
But I loved it. It was so good. And, you know, somebody still said to me, but why are you going to start exercising under the retrograde? I was like, hello, I am redoing. I'm going back to exercising. I'm not starting something brand new. So the Mercury retrograde is a fantastic time to get rid of old habits. So if you want to give up smoking or give up a bad attitude or swearing. Well, I'm not going to do that one this time, but anyway, whatever it may be. It's really good for that. And so if you can start seeing Mercury retrograde or any retrograde as those kinds of opportunities, but especially the Mercury retrograde for, you know, kicking bad habits and things like that, that's great. But the other thing is, because Mercury is retrograding through Gemini, it's also, and Gemini rules the arms, the hands, shoulders, lungs, your upper ribs, your thymus gland, those areas. So if you have issues with, like, say, bronchitis or asthma or pneumonia or anything to do with the arms or the shoulders or the hands, the Mercury retrograde now, through retrograding through Gemini, this is the perfect time to go and see doctors or get a second opinion, because then they can actually start finding what the issue is. With Saturn retrograding through Sagittarius, as I said, it rules the hips, but it's the entire sacral region of the spine, your sciatica nerve. So if you're having issues with your, you know, with your sciatic nerve being pinched, and anything to do with that sacral region or your hips, this is a good time to go and see doctors, to research it, to go for second opinions, because then they can start finding the issue. So those are the wonderful things about retrogrades. And I must admit, I've learned to make peace with the retrogrades, because otherwise you just tie your panties into a knot, worrying about, you know, oh my God, there's another retrograde, and how am I going to get through this one? We've just, you know, we've got to learn to roll with the punches. And again, easier said than done. I absolutely know that. But what I am finding is that the more we just give into life, not give up, give into life, and just go with that flow of life, and not trying to force things to happen the way we want them to happen now, because that creates fear, it creates stress, it creates tension, and that automatically then just blocks the flow of energy anyway. So if we look at today's theme, from fear to forgiveness, and what is fear, and why is it so difficult to overcome, I would say, and correct me if I'm wrong, or, you know, I would like your opinion on this as well, Faith, but, you know, when I sat with this, when I was given the theme, and I sat with it and thought, okay, what does this actually mean, and how does this actually work? I had the very distinct realization or recognition that the reason why fear is so difficult to overcome is because it's become a habit. We are habitually addicted to the sensation of fear, because that is what we have attached ourselves to as being the confirmation that we are alive. So if I feel fear, I know I'm alive. If I worry, I know I'm alive. If I try and control everything and force it to happen a certain way because I'm afraid of that happening or this not happening, at least I know I'm alive, and at least I know I'm doing something. So that for me was such a wow, yes. You know, that's true if I think of it and apply it to the issues that I was dealing with in the past. And what is fear? You know, it's an acronym: false evidence appearing real, or false expectations appearing real. We have been advised, told, whatever word you want to use, for however long, that fear is an illusion. But we are still in the process of crossing that threshold properly between the old paradigm and the new paradigm, where we are beginning to get a taste of the fact that we do not have to be motivated by fear as a reminder that we are alive. And when we start choosing peace, love, joy, happiness, laughter, silliness, rolling with the punches, surrender as the energies to remind us we are alive, then fear does not become the all-consuming, overpowering energy that it has been for as long as we can remember. Does that make sense to you, Faith?
Yes, ma'am.
And what do you have to say about that, young lady?
Well, for me, dear, I'm sorry, but I have to bring it back to astrology again. I think it was November 2010. And you, Kathumi Agrippa, Mary Magdalene, brought us through ancestral clearing and started bringing in the laws the end of 2009. Yep, so it was a year later. And we were really looking at our charts and understanding where Saturn is in our chart, and Saturn representing fear. And one of the things that I love to understand is symbols. In my work, I work with the angelic host since I can remember. And oftentimes when I work with clients, I would see things. I'm like you, clairsentient, clairvoyant, claircognizant, all the clairs, okay? And depending on what was best for the situation and the client at the time is what ability, I guess you would say, that would come through my intuition, whatever. And they used symbols a lot and pictures because they're worth 1,000 words. And I would often describe the picture or the feeling that went with it for a client, and they would use that to draw from when addressing a challenging situation. Well, the same with astrology. Sometimes they would just show me a symbol of a zodiac sign. But what I love about the astrology for the planets as well is these symbols each have a piece that you can break down into a meaning. And if you can Google, if you don't know what it looks like, the symbol for Saturn, think of it as the plus sign, and then it's sitting on top of an open parenthesis. And the plus sign is the cross of matter, which is earth, physical. And the open parentheses represents spirit. And so if you think of Saturn, that's putting the earth above spirit. Now, it's equal but opposite energy, as Jupiter is a benefic planet that is expansion versus Saturn's restrictions. It's the opposite of the symbol with the open parentheses on top of the cross of matter. And that kind of reminds me of what you're talking about here is, if you think about how you just described Saturn as lack, the fear of lack of anything, time, resources, abilities, all of that. And really, what do you put first? What motivates you first? And facing your fears, like you're talking about, and overcoming what we attach ourselves to is really a conscious reminder to me that if you put your spirituality first and understand and remind yourself that you're a spiritual being who happens to be in human form, it can really help you move from that illusion of fear, false evidence appearing real, or false expectations appearing real, to peace, joy, laughter, silliness, the more enjoyable parts of life. So for me, that symbology is very helpful in moving through and being reminded that the fear isn't the truth. It's what we were raised with. It's what we're beaten into our heads in school and the news and blah, blah, blah. So for me, that's how I look at it, and understanding how very important it is to know your motivation, which is why I mentioned to you before that I'm looking at offering primary motivation of what one's birth chart shows, because that's going to be your fallback plan for everything that you do in life and how you solve things and what's most important. So I think this is a very good topic that you have for today, and understanding fear and why it is so hard to overcome, and that we are attached to it, and what's the ticket out.
Right, yes. And you know what, Faith, if we just look at the law of forgiveness, which Mary Magdalene channeled, I think it was back in 2010, if I remember correctly.
Yep, I have it. And yep, it's in front of me. It's April 2010.
Great. Because when I read through that channeling as well, one of the things that really stood out for me, and in actual fact, it is something that I can now say absolutely yes, this is the truth, because I applied the law of forgiveness, and it has worked. And one of the things I have found is that people really do not understand why forgiveness is so important. And what I've often come up against with people, and sometimes quite aggressive reactions, is why must I forgive when they did something to me? And why must I forgive them? And you know what? That it's made me, I would feel so sad in those moments that people see forgiveness as, oh, well, if I forgive them, I'm letting them off the hook and they're getting away with whatever they did. And at the end of the day, I'm still the victim. Well, either way, you're the victim if that is the attitude you've got. Forgiveness is not solely about forgiving the other person. It's about letting yourself live life without that shadow hanging over you. So a perfect example of this would be if you didn't listen to my show, our show, when was it, Faith? The one where I just let it all out. That was a couple of weeks ago. And I shared a big chunk of my story, and it was so hard for me to forgive my biological mother. But once I had actually let everything out, and it happened to happen in one of our shows, it felt like a ton had been lifted from my shoulders and from my chest, because I had actually just gotten it out. How I felt about her, how I was so not going to accept what she had done to me, but I can't change what happened. What did happen was then I could see how, because of what she did, certain things happened to me, which has enabled me to do what I'm doing now. It has enabled me to have a level of compassion and love and understanding for people that have gone through similar things that I would never have had that not happened to me. So taking the gift out of the situation allowed me to set her free, to set my inner child free, to now move out of that state of frozen animation, that 9-month-old baby that was frozen in that state of shock, that was in a state of arrested development, that hadn't been able to grow up and mature, because that part of me was just frozen in that moment. But addressing the situation and really allowing whatever level needed to come out, allowing that to come out, it completely discharged all the energetic charges that I was feeling toward my biological mother that would then give rise to anger, rage, hatred, feelings and energies that literally gave me cancer, that resulted in me losing my gallbladder, you know. And it wasn't just my mother. Then it went on to a whole bunch of other things. Then it was, oh my God, this situation and that betrayal and that invasion and this and that. And they all started flowing to the forefront of my conscious mind. And I just kept on taking the gifts out of it. I thought, this is the gift, this is the gift, this is the gift. And by focusing on the gifts of the lesson, I was able to transcend the heaviness, the resentment, the bitterness, the anger, the rage, all of that that resulted in cancer twice, losing my gallbladder, constant throat infections, chest infections, just my health was constantly being hammered. And only when I had the very intensive health things happen last year, was I able to get to the bottom of things. But the other thing that really helped, and I've shared this with my class, my astrology class that I teach on a Monday, is that, and you mentioned it briefly, that before we incarnate, we sit down at a council table with our guardian angel, our spirit parents, our master guides, our initiation masters, the beings who overlight us in terms of our totem animals, and whatever other angels look after us, as well as the planetary spirits. And we say to them, okay, guys and girls, I've decided I want to go back to Earth, and you know what? Last time I didn't get compassion right, and you know what? I need to learn how to do this, and the best way I think I can learn to do this is my mother abandoning me. So, Mom, Laura, will you do that? Yes, she'll do that. Great, tick off. Okay, super duper. So there I've got my plan. So Lord Saturn says, okay, fine. I'm going to help you to learn how to value yourself by me placing myself in your second house of self-worth, money, values, morals, etc. So you will have restrictions around money because there's going to be huge obstacles around your self-worth because your mother abandoned you. But when you learn how to value yourself and see that your worth is not based on your mother's love for you or anyone's love for you, that means you have transcended that obstacle. And once you transcend it, there is no limitation. Your self-worth will continue to grow. Your finances will benefit from it because they're all tied in together. Then Lord Jupiter says, okay, I'm going to sit in your sixth house at 1 degree of Leo, but I'm going to be retrograde and I'm going to oppose your Venus. So you are going to have to learn lessons between imprisoning yourself and enslaving yourself and what that means. And I'm going, thank you, thumbs up, right, let's do this. And I choose a womb and off I go. And we are born. And shit happens, and we're like, yes. Oh my God, you did this to me, and you did that to me, and how dare you this, and how dare you that, but all that has happened is that everybody's actually just doing their piece, and the seven planetary spirits are not our enemies, they are our allies, because they have agreed, Lord Saturn agreed to sit in my second house so that I could overcome all the obstacles and all the challenges around money, my self-worth, how I value myself, and what my morals are. It is also connecting into my 12th house because I have Capricorn on the cusp of my 12th house where my Venus sits. Saturn rules Capricorn, so my lack of self-worth imprisons me. I go through immense subconscious torture and turmoil, but there was a hidden gift tied in there because Saturn sextiles my Venus and accidentally benefic as well. So because of all the work I do on myself, because I go into my subconscious, because I'm working on my self-worth, and big one, because I forgive my mother, the people who sexually abused me and raped me and abandoned me and disappointed me and upset me, I've let them go because my self-worth does not hinge on them. They are not that important. What is important is me and what I am doing to make my life better. I am the architect of my life. I put my blueprint together with the planetary spirits and with every single person that has done anything wrong to me because that's how I was getting to where I am now. And that is when we move beyond fear and into forgiveness. But the thing we have to realize first is the powerful gift that forgiveness brings us. Because as long as we remain attached to all the things that you did to me, and you did to me, and so-and-so did to me, and that bitch did that, and that bastard did that, you know, it's all it does is just keep you trapped in that constant wheel of karma. There is no spiral of ascension connected to the wheel of karma. It's like a dog chasing its tail. You're getting nowhere fast. You are running around the same circle, and the longer you run around that same circle, the deeper the ditch is going to be until eventually you cannot climb out of it because you've worn the ground away. But when you start forgiving, something different happens because you change. You start feeling free. And another very important part of the forgiveness aspect is that very often we need to forgive ourselves for whatever it is that we did or didn't do, or forgiving ourselves because of what happened. And, you know, I can forgive myself for not standing up to the men who molested me. And the reason why I can forgive myself is because I was 12 years old the first time it happened. I didn't know how to stand up to a grown man who was fondling my breasts and sticking his hand in my panties. I didn't know what the hell to do. And I can forgive myself for that because I did not know what to do. I can forgive myself for the fact that I did this or someone did that, or because I did not know any better. And I was so surprised to actually see how much I had been beating myself up for a lot of the molestations. It was molestation, rapes, plural, because I think to myself, well, maybe I shouldn't have been there, or maybe I shouldn't have worn that, or maybe I shouldn't have said that, or maybe I shouldn't, maybe I shouldn't. So that lack of forgiveness then gets tied into guilt, and guilt exists because of lack of forgiveness. So we feel guilty because we didn't say no, or we feel guilty because we didn't say yes. And, you know, there's all these things that are tied into guilt. So if we can begin seeing forgiveness and guilt connected and being the same energy, that is also going to release an immense amount of pressure. And I promise you, when that guilt and that forgiveness, when the guilt is gone and the forgiveness is in place, you have less to fear because your energy vibration changes. That vibration rises. So the fear of abandonment because of what my mother did is not such a big issue for me anymore because I've let it go. I am not attached to the energy of abandonment because I could not forgive her. I am not attracting the energy of abandonment and betrayal because I'm still attached to that experience that happened that I'm not letting go of because I'm so pissed off with her because she did what she did and how dare she. I express that. And once you get all of that off the chest, it doesn't have a charge anymore. So I would like to encourage all of our listeners, Faith, to maybe, you know, look at that. If there is a big issue that you can't forgive, to maybe just go into it and just let it all out. Either write a letter to the perpetrator or the abuser or the betrayer or whoever it is, or, you know, just say it in a group or talk to people, but let it out. Get it off your chest. And the retrograde will really be super in terms of motivating that. Is that clear so far, Faith? Sorry, I was about to carry on.
Nope.
Your take on that?
Clear. I think that it's important to remember through all of it, the blaming is so important because I think it's in your case, you've been through what is the worst things ever. I mean, it's just amazing where you are today. You're just an incredible example by leading your own life for everyone to rise above some of the most debilitating places that people could ever experience. It just is amazing to me. And I'm very grateful to have you you know, in my life, which I often say, I have the utmost respect for you, and I just adore you. It's amazing what you've risen above, and if anybody could sit and blame, it would be, most people would just say you're justifiable. I mean, let's, and I think the bigger picture is just so important to understand that, to really remember that everything that you've done here is to serve a purpose, and people find it very hard to believe some of the atrocities that, you know, they, it's just easier to stay as everybody is a victim. And, you know, some of the topics that come up is abortion, just a lot of different things. And to become spiritually aware is just non-negotiable. Do you know what I mean? And it almost sounds judgmental, so I got to be careful how I'm saying it. But it's, we are not in the, as you said, we're transitioning to a new world. And we're all here on Earth in various lifetimes and various lengths of time, choosing to experience life, even if it is maybe temporarily in a womb. Everything serves a purpose, and to really set yourself free is the key to forgiveness, because then the creativity and all of those beautiful things of living in the new world can flow through you. But until we can take that pearl of wisdom and to see what that Saturnal experience brought us, excuse me, or Mars experience, or whatever it is, we're not going to be set free. It's deep, and it's very powerful. So, and some, and we got an email from Ginger talking about how she noticed that even with all of the inner work she's done, you know, the conscious, unconscious, subconscious cleansing and diminishing, as she puts it, of the non-divine ego, she could feel herself stymied and not free of fear, and being taught, she was raised to separate body, mind, and spirit, as most of us have been. She couldn't figure out how to loosen up those hidden parts of herself and reveal them, and she is a very physical person, lots of Saturn, Capricorn. Anyway, she started dancing every day in her home, and she would do a few hours a day, and she found that she was able to kind of get out of her head and bring those emotions forward for her to face them safely. So I thought that was a really good tip, and I appreciated her writing that for us to share today, so that remembering to be in and grounded in your body and shaking her fear loose, as she puts it. So, yeah, don't be so hard on yourself, and remember that Saturn is a teacher, and he requires, yes, you know, patience, time, discipline, some form of self-review. Think of yourself as your own little business here on Earth, you know, a body, spirit, mind kind of a thing, and just kind of shifting that will be very helpful. And there's nothing more powerful than self-love, self-worth, and that forgiveness. And we all fluctuate with how we feel about ourselves, but you'll start to see that there's an overall base that you shift, and it continues to build and grow, wouldn't you say, Michelle?
Yes, absolutely. And you know what I'm also finding, Faith, is we all shifting and growing at our own pace, but there's also almost like a sense of urgency behind the shifting and the moving forward. Have you felt that?
Yes. Oh my gosh, good point. Yes.
Yeah. And the reason why I've just suddenly thought I need to bring that up is because between 2020 and 2022, that is the time period where the Aquarian age is fully anchoring on Earth. So the Aquarian age is, ta-da, it's here. Goodbye, Piscean age. But the Aquarian age is very dangerous if we're not stepping in with the right attitude. So if we step into the Aquarian age full of fear, full of the old paradigm consciousness, our Earth will not survive. Then we are definitely headed for the end of the world, and everything's going to just blow up, and we're going to have to put the reset button. But what's happening is, since 2012, we've been given the opportunity to reset without having Mother Earth blow up into a fireball and us all going along with it. And that particular period of time between 2020 and 2022 is basically the deciding period of where people are going to go. Are they going to be integrated into the new Earth, the new paradigm of light, the gold print for the golden age or the thousand years of peace, or stay in the old paradigm? And so at the moment, the intensity of all of these challenges are coming up for a reason, because we are now having to decide. It's kind of like no more sitting on the fence. You're in or you're out. You are going to address your issues and transcend them or not. You're going to stay behind, reincarnate, and readdress the whole thing all over again. And a lot of people are not getting that. But energetically, we are being kind of like nudged forward to do this. And this is why a lot of people feel like there's a pressure cooker energy in their lives. Work is becoming unbearable. Relationships are becoming unbearable. Ways of life, lifestyles, attitudes are becoming unbearable. And this is also because there's some very definite changes happening within our brain. Now, the project that we're currently working on now, the Middle East and Hungary and Romania Phase 2, the main part of that project has been around self-responsibility, self-accountability, taking full responsibility for ourselves. No projecting of blame, no projecting of anything. It's kind of like, this is me, this is who I am, this is how I want it to be, and this is how I'm going to co-create this new world. And where a lot of fear is being experienced is because of the reptilian brain. Now, it was the Namibia project and the project, I think it was Morocco project as well, where Mary Magdalene, and I think it might have been Madagascar as well, where Mary Magdalene spoke at length about the three brains, the reptilian brain, the limbic, and the neocortex, because the reptilian brain is the oldest brain, and that is where fear, survival, all is stored. Then the limbic brain kind of like developed after the reptilian brain, and that the limbic brain is emerged with mammals, and it generates everything connected to our emotions and our feelings. And the amygdala specifically is part of the center of the brain that the dark forces hijack. And what I mean by that is, it is they are sending out subliminal vibrations that are honed in on the amygdala. And because our emotions are processed through the amygdala, they can, through the subliminal programming, through people who sit and use remote viewing, telepathic communication, these groups are focused in specifically on aggravating the energy, so amplifying fear. 911 is a perfect example. I mean, not only did they wipe out thousands of American people, but the entire planet was in complete and utter shock. And fear ran rife across the planet because of 9-1-1. Now, we all know that it was a setup, that it wasn't a conspiracy theory, that it was actually a conspiracy reality. And this is how they control how people react, how they live, how they survive, certainly not how they thrive. And this is what more and more people need to become aware of. Get out of denial. Stop living in la-la land. Face your bloody issues and rise above them. The fact that you're not willing to address an issue is not going to hurt anyone else other than yourself. But actually, no, I must actually rephrase that. It will hurt the people who are victims of your rage, your bitterness, your resentment, your pessimism, your hatred of life. You are tainting and poisoning everyone around you with those energies just because you don't want to address certain issues. And certain issues are difficult to look at. And, you know, no one can stand in front of me and say to me, oh, but it was too painful. I don't want to go back there. Oh, bullshit. Okay, just stand up, grow some ovaries, grow some balls, and look it square in the face. Because when you look at these issues, when you just allow that pain, that anger, that despair, whatever it was that you felt, to just come to the surface and just be released, to cry it out, scream it out, punch it out, kick it out, whatever it is, not on a person, please. So let me just add a little disclaimer there. What we are suggesting, you do not take out on other human beings or animals or anything. Mattresses, pillows, punch bags, baseball bats against punch bags. Yes, that's all fine. Writing letters, or maybe having an intervention where, you know, you can approach the person, the person that abused you, hurt you, whatever it is, with some very close friends or family that can stand there by you, and you can just let it all out. That needs to be done. That is where we are as a society in terms of dealing with our past, so that fear is not the energy driving us. Because if you are still attached to an old issue, regardless of what it is, the fear of that happening again is going to be the energy driving your life. That is a false expectation appearing real. You are expecting those issues to happen again. You are expecting to be abandoned again, to be betrayed again. You are expecting to be disappointed again, because that's what always happens to you. Stop it. Stop. Stop saying that's what always happens. That was the pattern. That is how it's always been in the past. The past is the past. It's time to stop harping on the past. It's kind of like we have got to the point where, you know, we are haunting our past. We are tormenting our past because we just won't leave it bloody well alone. It is, address it, look at it, move on. We have got so much new energy and so many amazing opportunities lying, waiting for us if we will just turn around and face the future rather than beating the dead horses from our past. Do you agree, Faith? I know I'm like, you know, I tend to come across a little bit more passionate than you. You will put it in a much nicer way.
Oh, no. Oh, I don't know about that. Now, remember, you know, you're doing this show. You've been up for hours. It's 3 in the morning for me, so I'm going to sound a little different. But I'm passionate about this subject because as part of my natural makeup, I can put things into bite-sized pieces, and I do it naturally and want to transform things. So I'm just trying to look at what you've been saying, and I think it's a great reminder that by doing this, the reptilian brain, the limbic brain, the amygdala, and the dark forces hijacking, I just want to mention, I can feel them doing it. While I'm here in Hollywood and working on these Hollywood grids, which we've mentioned over the last couple of months that I've been working on, I can feel the waves of panic. And it's not me. It will be at the strangest times of day with no pattern. It can be during the daytime. It can be evening. It can be the onset of dusk. And it's so important to know yourself so you know when it's your stuff, just like being an empath, or someone else's. So know what triggers you in your fears. And so that you can say, aha, there you are again. I recognize you fear. Thank you very much for letting me be aware that this is triggered in me and that it's an illusion. And I know now that it means I have to look at it differently. And by applying a proper response, you're laying new neural pathways and you're shifting so that these habits will now change. You won't have this to, quote, battle so much anymore. And before I make the next point, would you agree that that's...
Yes.
The other thing I want to mention, and it was briefly talked about in part one, not briefly, and I loved that it was brought up by Kathumi Agrippa about the women... ahead of our men and the alpha male, alpha female, the omega points. And a lot of us light workers and light warriors are ahead of our mates and our families as it relates to the ascension process. And how do we, with, I know we don't have a whole lot of time left in our show, but I think it's important to talk about how we're handling that with healthy boundaries and explaining what's going on. Because we've talked a lot about, since we started our show, how the dark separates and tries to break up families. You know, I'm going to approach things as faith, as what's natural to me. And the way I'm going to handle it may not be the best way that you're going to handle it. And you got to be yourself. But I think the most important thing is we can't blame our families and be angry and sit in judgment because they don't get it. And that I really want to remind us of. We can't, you know... As much as we don't want to be pointed at, blamed, and we're a bunch of kooks or whatever it is we're being criticized for, because I'm sure we've all been there with our families and wondering what the hell we're doing, we can't turn around and extend that energy back. We need to have a big dose of understanding of ourselves and what we went through and maybe a little humility, and then have a proper response versus a reaction, and then setting up. And I think that's the beauty, in my humble opinion, of this whole philosophy that you mentioned with Saturn in retrograde. What are our philosophies in all those areas and all the cusp houses and all the things that we hold near and dear and what we want to bring in this world? And the law of forgiveness is directly connected to what we create. To me, that's the sacral chakra, right? So how do we respond, you know, to our families and our mates, you know, so that we can empower them to make the decision and prepare for the deciding period of 2020 to 2022. Do you want the old paradigm? And to let them go if they want to, versus peace, love, and joy. So does this make sense? Can we talk about that for a moment?
Yes, it makes absolute sense, you know, and faith, you know, relationships, funny enough, I've been getting a lot of emails people asking, you know, when are we going to do the relationship shows again, because they really enjoyed it. So funny enough, let me just quickly say that then before I forget it, because I was going to mention at the end, is maybe what we'll then do is alternate, you know, light within the dark, and then the following week, relationship revelations, and because people really need it. Now, what I've noticed is because relationships are not really relationships as we understand the true essence of relationships to be. And I saw something the other day and I read it and they said, you know, it's not about relationships, it's about a partnership. And I thought to myself, actually, yes, that's it. You know, relationships should be partnerships. And if we think of everything prior to December 21, 2012, which is the old paradigm, I would say a lot of relationships were karmic. It's all about, you know, wounds reflecting wounds. And relationships where, you know, there is a lot of conflict going on, a lot of blaming, fighting, bickering, violence, abuse, whatever it is, these are just wounds reflecting wounds. And when we can see, when we stand in a relationship, that our partner is simply reflecting the things about ourselves that we haven't made peace with yet or are uncomfortable with, or they might be dealing with something that we've already, as women, transcended or mastered, then in that situation, as, and I also say, I'm not saying this in a derogatory fashion, but, you know, if you are the more enlightened person in the partnership, then it's up to you to use the wisdom that you've gained. And the other number one thing that we always forget, unconditional love.
Yes.
So if you truly love your partner and you truly want your partnership to work, and you have a sense that, you know, you just need to give your partner time, and you can sit down and talk to him without making him feel attacked or belittled, then you're going to make progress. And I must actually also quickly interject here and say, for all you ladies out there, my husband Sean, he's just finished a 5-week course around what men want from women. And it is a brilliant 5-week course where he covers a whole bunch of things that we as women do not know about men, because we as women, it's kind of like being like a battle of the sexes. And now with evolved partnerships, it's changing. And I have experienced a lot of success in my marriage because I have been willing to listen how a man works, what he needs, how they think, how we need to communicate to them. And this is what my husband is teaching in his 5-week, a 4-week course now. Sorry, it's 4 weeks, not 5 weeks. And that in itself is such a gift. So I would suggest that our female listeners maybe consider doing that. If you go to my website and you look under Manda's Method, you will find the dates and all the details for the upcoming course that he's going to be doing. That in itself will give you the insights into how to address your partner, how to speak to him, how to understand what he's going through, and as an evolved woman, then to be able to create the environment because of now the information, and this is what I've done for my husband, is create a space where he feels safe enough to open up to me about what he's going through. So same thing for you. So where your partner can feel safe enough to speak to you about his insecurities, his fears. Perhaps he doesn't understand what path you're on and what this path is all about. All he sees is you changing and you now demanding different things, and suddenly you don't like this anymore, and now it needs to be done like this in the house, and you know, there's all these weird books lying around, and you're meditating and you're listening to channelings, and he doesn't have a clue what this is all about. and then you reject him because he doesn't want to get involved. But the poor man has no idea what you're involved in. So it also takes a level of accountability, responsibility, where we really see where our partner is at. Is he resisting this because he's just being an asshole and he doesn't want you to participate in it? Or has it scared the bejesus out of him and he has no idea how to handle it? So those are two very important things that I would say we as evolved women need to take into account, or anyone who is starting on this path that has found our shows and not know how to integrate it into their family and life, is give your partner, whether it's a man or a woman, the space to understand what you're doing, to get to know what's happening, because they feel threatened. Men especially, they are territorial. So this whole new thing's happening, their partner's going through a change, everything in their life is changing. Who the hell is this that's making these changes? What the hell is she into? Is this a phase? Is it real? Where do I stand? It's invading my space. Suddenly I'm not allowed to eat meat anymore, and I've got to listen to meditation music. WTF, big question mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. Does that make sense in that sense?
Yes. I think it's a great idea.
So I think
that we should do that. It's coming up more and more for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel
absolutely
that the Mandler's method is very good for people to look into. Now, when they, so that you can, you don't take it as a couple, you take it as an individual, correct? I lost you. We were talking before, and I don't know if your internet is down again before the show went on that happened, or if you're, let's see, is your internet down or if it's your headset? Are you there? Sorry, everyone, hold on, please. It looks like, I can't tell but it, for sure, but it looks like Michelle's internet may have dropped because I texted her and it didn't seem to go through. Well, and just adding to what Michelle was saying, it's extremely important. I think of it as learning new skills as to our listening. But you know you and you know your spouse, and it's very important, or your mate or whomever you're in a relationship with, to not jump to conclusions, because it can be very frustrating. You may feel like you're having the same conversations over and over again. And as much as possible, don't have the conversations unless you are at peace inside. When you feel love inside and set a boundary that respect is non-negotiable, that will really help set the proper stage and the energy, I guess, is the word to use, to allow that safe space to be felt. Because you can say, I'm going to create the space, but if you're not bringing the feeling of that safe space to the conversation first, it will be not a positively fruitful experience, or perhaps allowing the new to take root, or even just to plant the seeds. It's very difficult in society today for men overall, as well as women, but the pressure of at work especially, where men feel very insecure, and then to feel that at home too, where they're not performing or not who they're expected to be, can be very draining and confusing. And I think it's beautiful to talk about relationships versus partnerships. Is the relationship a challenging one instead of a supporting partnership? These are good things to think about, reflect, and what you want to create in the new world or where you're headed in life, and not judging anybody for it, but just being a matter of fact as here's where things are and where you'd like them to be. Dreams for building the new future. And important to remember is there is no good guy and no bad guy. That's also part of the false gods, false goddesses. It goes back to the Greece projects and balancing of the masculine, feminine inside of each of us, and then being able to extend it outwardly. You know, it's a beautiful time of healing many levels. And as the law of fair exchange says, we need to first concentrate on the energy we extend from and to ourselves by extending it out and receiving it. What's the quality of that first? Being clear with that from unconditional love, and then extending it to our family members, spouse or mate, if we have one, relationships overall, and then it's our work and our career. So hopefully this was helpful today with fear and the law of forgiveness. And I don't see that Michelle's coming back. We've got about 5 minutes left. And I don't have my computer with me, so I'm sorry if people are emailing. Because of the small space I'm in, I have to come into our bathroom here in our studio so I don't wake up my son. I'm here with him as he's going to college. So if you're live and want to text me, that's good. We have about 4 minutes left. Let me just go. I'll take a moment and look at some of the notes and see where maybe some additional comment can be made. I really like the comment that was made about as women, or the role of the feminine in your relationship and partnership, creating that space where they can feel safe enough and to be okay with your changes, and maybe talk about how scary it was for you and what you went through. Anything that's open, transparent, honest, you cannot lose. There is nothing more powerful than being at peace. If you go to my website, faithparent.net, I have an archive and newsletters and articles, and I wrote one about peace is where your power is. When you feel peaceful, that's where unconditional love is. So if you can focus on feeling peace, the rest of that, and really harnessing it, the rest of it becomes much easier, so you don't lose control of the situation and get angry. And if you feel that you are, it's okay to regroup and just say, I'm not in the space that I want to be in to have an effective conversation, and unless I'm coming from love, I'm not going to have this conversation. So you can have healthy boundaries with yourself that you can state for what you want to approach in your relationship. And it can even be, if it's a work relationship, if you find that you're coming out of balance, people will respect you far more if you say, you know what, I'm starting to get a little emotional about this, or I need some clarity, I'm going to pull back and say, let's talk about this later. And it allows a higher energy to come into the space of what you're trying to clear. So anything that you want to see change in, be good with it within yourself first, how you manage yourself first, then you'll find it more easily done in all of your relationships. And again, you know, if you're not comfortable with it, say, let's talk about this later, and to leave peacefully. I think our time is about up. If you have any questions or things that you'd like us to talk about next week, You can email me, faith@faithparent.net. I know Michelle's inbox gets very full, and I assure you that I bring these items forward to Michelle prior to the show. You can reach Michelle through her website, too, at palaceofpeace.net. Mine is faithparent.net. And thank you so much for listening, whether you're listening to the recording or live. And I'm very grateful to Michelle, her love, her friendship, and all the work that she does, and her openness and honesty and willing to share. And I encourage you to look at the Manders Method. I've spoken to Sean one-on-one before, and I really enjoy listening to how a man who's comfortable about being able to talk about his feelings, what's important. So thank you, and we wish you a great